This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, today we have before us the text that more people in the world are familiar with than any other text. John 3:16. If you think that's coincidental, I don't think so. I think God, obviously, knows what He's doing. And more people are familiar with that text, whether they're Christian or not, it doesn't matter. They are familiar with John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Oftentimes, John 3:16 is called the gospel in a nutshell. It indeed expresses what the whole world Word of God is about. It points to God's desire to be in relationship with all people. The people He created, the people that He would call His own. But oftentimes we don't remember the story that goes with it. The story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, sometimes people like to joke around and say, it's all about Nick at night. He comes to Him at night. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. That's what we need to understand in this story, because it truly makes this story of conversion, one that in Jesus' day seemed impossible. In fact, most often when we hear about Pharisees, they are opposed to Jesus and they are questioning what He's doing, sometimes specific actions that He does. But what really bothered them about Jesus was this. He surrounded Himself and immersed Himself with sinners. Not only sinners, but even Gentiles. That's something Pharisees didn't do. They attempted to seclude themselves from both sinners and Gentiles. They were people who were very devoted to God's law, Moses' law. It's interesting that they would call it Moses' law rather than God's law, but they do. And they are very focused on keeping and honoring God's law. Nothing wrong with that. And because they did, they were very respected and honored by their fellow Israelites. What does any human being want above sometimes all things? Especially, think back to when you were a teenager. If you're a typical teenager, one of the things that you desired more than anything else, sometimes more than your own family, was to be accepted, to be a part of the popular group, part of the in crowd. Hopefully, as you've matured, you've gotten over that. But the truth of the matter is, even for me, I desire to be honored and respected by people. I don't worry about it a whole lot. I simply attempt and feel like if I'm myself and I'm honest with people and I conduct myself the way I ought as a Christian, I will be honored and respected. But indeed, it is something we all want. We want our opinion to count. And it's truly when we're respected and honored and accepted that people desire to know our opinion. And we like to give it. And in fact, we like people to honor our opinion and agree with us. Nicodemus has all that. And that's why, to a certain extent, his conversion is unlikely. And so we have this incident where Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Why does he come to him by night? Because he doesn't want to give up all he has. And he's not sure. He's seen something in Jesus, what he said. In fact, when he comes to Jesus, he says, no one could do all these things unless God was with him. So he doesn't dismiss Jesus as his fellow Pharisees, most of them did. He sees something in Jesus and he wants to learn more. But he's not willing to sacrifice his whole identity as a Pharisee to come to Jesus by day. So he comes by under the cover of night, and we have this interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus tells Jesus that indeed he couldn't do these things unless God was with him. And Jesus says to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus takes that completely literally. How can I, a man, re-enter my mother's womb and be born again? Well, the truth of the matter is, you can't. But Jesus isn't talking literally. He's talking spiritually. And Nicodemus doesn't get it. Jesus doesn't give up on him. Jesus at one point actually kind of makes Nicodemus take notice. You're a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand these things? Again, that's to draw Nicodemus in, to get his attention. But Jesus never gives up on him. First, he tries using an example from Nicodemus's everyday experience. He talks about the wind. You don't know where the wind comes from, and you don't know where it goes, but you hear it. You see what it does. You can't physically see it, but you don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it goes. Well, we know the wind comes from God. Nicodemus has felt the wind, but he doesn't understand what Jesus is trying to relate to him. What Jesus is trying to relate to him is that you know the wind exists, so does the Spirit. And you need to be reborn of the Spirit. Again, Nicodemus doesn't get it. Does Jesus give up on him? No. In fact, Jesus uses another example that indeed Nicodemus should have understood. The example of Moses making a bronze serpent in the wilderness. Nicodemus knew the history of his people. He knew that indeed God had led them out of Egypt through Moses to the promised land. And he undoubtedly knew this story of the fact that the Israelites were being bitten by serpents or snakes, and Moses prays to God. God commands Moses to make a bronze serpent, to put it on a pole, and to lift it up. And anybody who would look at that serpent would pass from sure death to life. And Jesus talks about himself with regard to being the one who comes to save. And he too is going to be lifted up. He's talking about his own crucifixion. Again, we don't know whether Nicodemus gets it or not. But Jesus continues. And he then says, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And that's the end. As Paul Harvey likes to say, here's the rest of the story. In John chapter 19, proclaims that Joseph of Arimathea, after Jesus has died, along with Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, go to claim Jesus' body, to prepare it for burial, and to put it in the tomb. Jesus' disciples abandoned him. They're hiding out for fear of the Jews. But Nicodemus comes in the light of day, along with Joseph, to claim the body of Christ. An unlikely conversion happened. And certainly because Jesus is involved, we shouldn't be surprised. And yet, it was unlikely. What does it teach us with regard to our life in Christ? All of us know people whom perhaps we've been trying to invite and encourage to come to know Jesus. It teaches us to be persistent, not to give up. Jesus doesn't, and Nicodemus indeed comes to faith in Jesus Christ. We ought always be persistent in inviting and encouraging even the most unlikely person in the world that we might think can come to faith in Jesus Christ. Because it is God's desire that they be and receive the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. In fact, this story tells us that even our enemies can come to faith in Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, by all accounts, would have been an enemy of Jesus. Not that Jesus perceived him that way, but indeed the people around Jesus would have perceived him that way. And yet, Jesus encourages him to come and to come and to come. And he finds ways to reach Nicodemus. We, St. Mark's Lutheran Church, are the body of Christ, where we proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, where together we get to be a part of Christ's body, body that he's created. It truly is Christ that has brought us together to be the body of Christ here. And this is the place we proclaim Jesus Christ to be Savior of the world, to each other, to our community, and to the world. And so this is the place that we need to encourage and invite people to, that they may see Jesus, the Christ that we proclaim, to experience the love of Christ among us, for them to be able to see Jesus working in and through us as he continues to bless us to be his body. It is the place that people come to know Jesus. We have been set free. We have been born again in Christ. To be born again simply means to be made completely new. We are completely new in Christ. The old has passed away. The new has come. And God indeed is with us, in us, and for us, building us all up together in Him. It is the place where people can come to know and see Jesus. We welcome and we serve by loving as He first loved us, building all of us up together in Him, that all people who come and see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name, amen.